Blog Talk Radio.
We greet you tonight in the precious name of Jesus. Welcome to the Agape Worldwide Prayer and Deliverance Ministry. This is Pastor Horn from North Carolina. We thank you, we welcome you, we give God the glory on October the 1st, 2021. Thanks God again for being in the land of the living, in our right mind, the opportunity to come to give glory and honor to his name, to also to pray, to preach, to teach the word, however the Spirit of God choose to use it, to lead. We come tonight, and we pray that each person come with an open heart and an open spirit to receive from the Lord, however he choose to minister to them, you know, and take the word and apply it to your life. You know, let the word change you, let it change your perception of what you're going through, and look at it, it's not what you're going through, but where you're going to, and know that God has not brought you to that particular place, and not going to bring you through if you allow him to do so. So we thank and we praise God right now for his mercy, his love, his kindness, and his goodness. We just give him all the praise, glory, and honor. We pray tonight as we come in for the Lord and pray for the world as a whole. We pray for situations, circumstances. We pray, God, for, you know, for all that he is and that what he's going to do. We thank and we praise him tonight. We pray for the world. We just pray for a supernatural move of the Holy Spirit upon our land, upon our country, upon not just the United States, but other countries, and too. We pray for the president and all of them in authority on whatever level they are. We pray for each and every person, as he tells us in his word, to pray for those in leadership, because it is his desire that every soul be saved, and also the word of God let us know whenever we obey the word of God and pray as he told us to pray. He says so that we can lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. So we must obey the word of God and what he tells us to do, you know, not to pray for a particular person, you know, and not lead the other, because he said in his word, "But this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." So we just praise God and thank him for all that he is and all that he's doing, all that he's going to do. And I just want to encourage people, you know, to lift up the name of Jesus. Instead of lifting up your problem, lift up the name of Jesus, because he and he alone is the only one that can bring us out. So we just praise him for his mercy. We praise him for his goodness. We praise him for his kindness. We praise him for all that he's is and all that he's going to do. You know, we honor him tonight. We honor him, and we thank again and praise that we allow the Lord to use us, that we pray for, that we decrease, that the anointing and Spirit of God will increase in our lives. And so we thank him, we praise him right now for what he's doing and what he's going to do tonight. But have an open spirit, open heart, to receive what he has for us so we can walk in the victory that has already been won on the cross. We can walk in the blessings of God. We can walk in the abundant life that he has died for us. The healing that he had taken, the stripes on his back for us, is already has been done. And we have to receive it by faith, walk in it, walk in obedience to it in the name of Jesus, in the precious name of Jesus. We thank the Lord tonight. We pray for the sick. We pray for those in the hospital, nursing home. We pray for those, God, who are going through the COVID, who's going, whatever they're going through, God, we lift them up to you right now. In the name of Jesus, and we speak your divine power and your divine healing. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, and we glorify your name tonight. We honor you tonight. Father, we pray for people in other countries. We pray for people in the nursing home. We pray for people, Father God, in the children's home, in the mental institutions. And Lord, we just come against the spirit of dementia and Alzheimer's, everything that has to do with the mind. Because you said in your word, Father God, we have the mind of Christ. So help us really, Father God, in the name. We come against that spirit. We take authority over it right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we break the power of it over your people right now. Let them use their mind for the things of God, for the things of God. And Lord, and we thank you We praise you. We honor you. We go. We pray for the armed force. We pray for the police department. We pray for the sheriff's department. We pray, Father God, for the highway patrol. We pray, Father God, for the postmaster. We pray, for God, for the teachers and pray for the school. We pray for the kids, God. We lift them up to you right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Pray for the people in college, God, in all kind of technical school, God, wherever they are, we lift them up to you right now. We claim souls for your kingdom, God, in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, for those who have asked me to pray, Father God, who's standing in agreement for prayer. I pray for them, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, God, and we just glorify you. We honor you. We lift you up right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And, Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy. We thank you. We pray for all those who you have called and truly called, God, into your kingdom. We lift them up to you right now. And, Father, those who the enemy is using to destroy your kingdom, God, we put them down in the spirit. Right now, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, let us learn to walk in righteousness, walk in truth, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Father, we just thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, we honor you. In the precious name of Jesus, glory to your name, God. We praise you, we honor you, we love you, we glorify you. Lord, those who don't have a place to stay and need a place to stay, we pray for them right now, Father, that you open up a door. In the name of Jesus, you got many places, many houses, you got many people, Father. Lord God, you can speak to someone even now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that they will open up a door and welcome people to give them a place to stay. Some people got several places, several homes, Father God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to move by your spirit. We ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, let that divine will be done. In the precious name of Jesus, God, we thank you, Lord God, for all that you're doing and going to do. We lift you up right now in the name of Jesus. And we pray, Father God, in other countries, other places. We pray, Father God, for those who are going through death in their family. We pray for, we lift them up, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, let them know, Father God, that Holy Ghost is their comforter. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. It's the comforter in the name of Jesus, Lord God, and send the Holy Spirit to comfort them in their bereavement, Father. Right now, in the name of Jesus, in the precious name of Jesus, we pray, Father God, for children in special schools, God. We just lift up people to you right now, even in the mountains and the country places, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we lift up those who people have done things that shouldn't do it, and people are trying to find them, God. Lord, we ask you, the angels know exactly what they are. And God, let them be exposed and caught, God, before they do something else crazy, Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, we honor you, Lord God. We thank you for all that you have done. We lift you up right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, God, we praise you. Oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we honor you. We love you. We glorify you. Oh, you are the great I am. You're the great and mighty God. And Father, you said in your godly life before you, but you said, I have fully known my doctrine, teaching, manner of life. Paul was saying, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, affliction, which came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, that what persecution I endure. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. And Lord, that is to say that we know that you will deliver us out of all of whatever we're going through. And it also tells us that we are going to go through. It says, yea, and all that believe godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Lord, you so tell us exactly what we'll go through, what we'll do, Father, in the name of Jesus, what we have to experience, Father, in the name of Jesus. And the Bible said, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. God, your word is true all by itself. But you tell us, but continue thou in the things which thou hast heard, learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And we thank and praise you for your word today, God. And you that from a child thou best hast known, this is what Paul was telling Timothy, the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And Lord, you're telling us through your word. It's through your word, the Holy Scripture, which are able to make us wise. And you said all Scripture, not some, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. In order to tell us the only way we can walk in righteousness is through the word of God to lead and teach us and guide us into that place in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And Father God, he said, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And Father, let's tell us, God, it's through your word, it's through your Holy Scripture, Father, we're able to walk in that life that you have called us to walk in, God, to be able to walk in exactly holiness and righteousness, Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. So, God, we honor you tonight. We praise you tonight. We give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor, Father God. Lord, we just pray right now for those, God, we come against the spirit of fear and intimidation that come with this COVID, Father God, in the name of Jesus. God, we break the power of it. We call it powerless right now through by the Holy Ghost, Father, in the name of Jesus. I know, Father God, they are saying that it's going to come a greater force, come of God. I know, I believe in my heart, we can speak the word because you say you give us power over all the power of the enemy, and we can run the things. We can render it, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Let less power, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, as we pray, God, for pastors and leaders all over the place, God. We just lift them up to you, God, those who are walking in righteousness, God. Hallelujah. I pray, Father God, because of the stress and the trials, the persecution that they have to go through, Father. Lord God, I ask you to lift up a standard against them, Father. In the name of Jesus, come against the enemy. Break his power. Right now, in the name of Jesus, over your people, Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I'm just asking you to send forth the holy anointing of God across the land to bring healing and deliverance to people, God. There's so many sick people, so many hurting people, Father, that need you. You said in your word, Father God, even in the days of the New Testament, that the field was white, but the labors are few. And Father, I ask you, Father God, I know your desire, I know you have been doing it, wanting to raise up, Lord God, qualify people spiritually to use them to bring deliverance in the name of Jesus, to draw people into your kingdom, God. Lord, we pray for them right now in the name of Jesus. And I just pray, Lord God, even for the enemies. I pray salvation and deliverance to them right now. Save them and truly save them, God. Lord God, save them to the core in the mighty name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, let us be really a torch to light. Let us walk in some anointing and some power, God, that we represent you, that people know, Lord God, the fruits and the things in our life that we really belong to you. Because you said in your word, Father God, that, Lord God, that the believers, signs and wonders should follow them. Lord God, and I know your word is true, God. So we are supposed to have signs and wonders following each and every person that name the name of Christ. And Father, we thank you right now. Somebody, God, who don't have food to eat, or don't have money to pay their bills, or somebody's waiting on money, whatever they're waiting on, God, that they need, I stand in proxy for them, Father. And Lord God, and call those things that be not as though they were. I ask you, Lord God, to send the angels to loose whatever they need right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I know, Father God, that you got some kind of connection. Somebody, Father God, who will hear you and obey, God, to meet the needs of that person in whatever capacity it is right now in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Lord, and even those, Father God, in the name of Jesus, as you have promised, Lord God, that need a place to stay or need a home or need whatever they need, Father God, because of whatever the reason is. Father, I'm asking you and I'm standing in proxy. Father God, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, God, that we're going to believe by faith. No more delay. Now, even in my situation, Father God, no more delay. We call forth, God, your word. We speak, Father God, in the name of Jesus, the word that you have spoken. We decree, we declare about the power of God, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And some of those who live on the streets, Lord God, some of those who really don't have a place to stay, God, move for them also, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Because, Lord, you got many people, got homes and houses, Father God, that they can reach out and give out to someone else, Father. You said you bless us to be a blessing. And, Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise you. We glorify you right now that your word is true. Your word is true, Father, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we ask you to meet every need that people need today. Lord, we ask you to supply that need right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, and God, and we want to glorify you. We want to honor you. And we thank and we praise you right now for all things. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So tonight, I just give honor and praise and glory to the Lord Jesus. I praise I decrease, and that he may, his spirit may increase, that he will pour forth out of me what he desired to in order to bless his people, you know, in order to bring glory and honor to his name, to lift his name up. You know, we just thank and praise God. And I just want to encourage people, anytime you're really trying to live for the Lord and you're trying to do the right things, you know, it's going to always be that push, to try to push against you. But you got to persevere. Anything you want bad enough, we know that in the natural. A lot of us got that tenacity. We won't stop until we get it. So it has to be that same way with the kingdom of God. That always got to be something there to stop. If you don't use them, they use us. But Lord, help us to stand still. Help us, God, to see your salvation. Help us to know that whatever you have said, it shall come to pass. But Lord God, that we are called for such a time as this. We are called, Father God, to stand and stand in the holy boldness, Lord God, and let the devil know you are a defeated foe. Why? Because God said so. His word says so. And Lord, even as I was reading that scripture before, you said in your word, Lord God, all scripture is given by inspiration. Of God, all scripture, and it's profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, Lord God, and it said for correction, for instruction in righteousness, and also it's your word that we need, in the name of Jesus, your word that we need, Father, that will lead and guide us into your truth, God, that will make us spiritually strong in you, Father God. Lord God, we thank you right now for each and every person, Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I'm going with the word. I was trying to wait, for other callers to come in, but, you know, I'm going to go ahead and do what I got to do and give out what I'm giving out, you know, and pray for the will, you know, and pray for the won't. But, you know, we got to go on because when God give you a call and give you a job to do, and I just want to encourage people, you know, he's going to require you to do it. You have to do it, or either you miss out. But anyway, I'm going to talk sometime tonight about 2 Timothy 4th chapter, and something that we really need to know, and what Paul was warning Timothy about, and this can apply to us today, because the same thing happened. We're called to minister, evangelize, priest, prophet, teacher, whatever it is. These are the things that we will encounter. And then it tells us what we're to expect to happen, what we're going to expect the people, what kind of people that we're going to run into, you know. And even the teachers, it talks about how teachers, they have itch and ears. And instead of people, the teachers, they want to, you know, give people and preach and teach what they want to teach the people, because they are itching to do it, because they know that's what people need. But he was warning him and preparing him when he get ready to go out. But the first verse says, I charge thee. And really, it's more like when somebody charges, it's more like they commanding you in a sense, and they, you know, this is something that you got to do. Therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick. See, God's going to judge the quick and the dead at his appearance and his kingdom. So we don't have to worry about people or whatever, or even ourselves, because the word of God already said, it doesn't make any difference who we are or whatever we are. He said he's going to judge the quick and the dead at his appearance. So it doesn't make any difference what I try to tell God I'm not doing. I meant this, I meant that. Because one thing about him, he's a righteous judge, and he will judge the heart. You know, and I have found out sometimes, we think we don't mean this or say this, but God will come back and say, but that's not the way he's seeing it. You know, so he was letting them know, this is what you want to experience, but don't worry about it, because God will come and judge you quick in the dead when he comes for. But the second place is preach the word, proclaim the word, proclaim his scripture. You know, even when we're telling people about what he has brought us out of and brought us through and what we was in and he delivered us, we are proclaiming the good news. Because we're telling them about, I was in this bondage, but God delivered me out of it. And the Bible said, be instant in season, out of season. What does that mean? At any given time, you could be at the right time or wrong time, that people say, or they say, well, you shouldn't bring it, you know, bring the word this because it's not Bible study or not church service. But he said, be instant in season and out of season. So anytime the Holy Spirit wants to use us to bring that word, you know, somebody, you could be in the store, or you could be shopping or whatever, and he wants to speak. He wants to speak to somebody. We have to learn to be a yielded vessel. But he was telling them, be quick, be sensitive to the Spirit of God at any given time. Any given time. That's why a lot of time with me, I put down something I got to do or whatever, even if it's cooking. If God has someone to call me and they need me to pray or they need me, sometimes it's a talk. I put the stuff on the back burner, and I take the word literally, not figuratively. And what I do is, if he said, be instant in season, I say, my time belongs to the Lord. He say, he also tells us to reprove. Reprove means to convince people. See, nowadays, people don't want you to reprove them. They think you're from the devil. They think you're being too cold, and they think you're judging. But see, but if anyone... I'm going to use me. If I tell anyone that God's got them trying to reprove me, correct me, and I tell them don't do that, or I'm not going to accept that, or whatever it is, I am telling them, I'm being a partaker, telling them to disobey God's word for me, as if I'm the God. But I don't plan on doing that. Reprove me to charge with a fault, to convince of a fault, to refute. Also, it means to chide or to represent. Reprimanded, So the Bible tell us to do that. So I don't really understand and get it why people are telling people now, well, you're not supposed to do that now. If you're going to do the whole Bible, do it all. But he was telling them, even at that time, to reprove, rebuke. The word rebuke means in a sharp chastisement. A sharp chastisement. It means punishment, affliction, for the purpose of restraint, are correcting. So when you're doing this, you are correcting a person. That's just like in the natural in school. You got a kid, you got somebody in school learning or whatever it is, and the teacher will correct them. They don't say nothing about that. But in the kingdom of God, when you correct a person because they're wrong, and you correct them out of love, really, you are stopping them in their track by keeping on with what it is. Because it also means reproof for a fault, or blame, or unsure for a fault. And basically what he's telling us, this is what we're called to do. That's just like it's a command. For anybody that's a minister, it is a command, not only for me to do it, but also for God to use somebody, in a place that they're not just giving because they don't like what I'm saying. But they are in that same place, the Spirit of God in them can rebuke me, correct me, put me on the right path. And that's what it means about that rod, that he has that rod, that crook. And what God does, not only through you with the word, or through prophets or whatever it is, but a lot of times the Lord would have a leader or somebody in leadership position to take that rod when you're out of line or when you're saying something that's going to cause you to derail, and they will come in immediately, quickly, and because they're like they're catching you by your neck and pulling you back on line. And most times, most people get offended, and that's because a lot of times they're immature in the spirit because they're not understanding God has not changed. But he was telling him, this is what you do. He said, also exhort. Now, a lot of times you have people telling you not all the things you're supposed to do, exhort people, build them up. But he did not say just do that. But he also said rebuke and reprove. Always long-suffering and doctrine as teaching is through the word of God, too. God would have you to bring in scripture. I know he would have me doing that. Teaching things, and that word was just cutting left and right. And people took a person, they thought I was teaching against them. I'm not in your house. I don't know what you're doing. And I'm asking God, what do you want me to bring? I'm yielding to him. And he's not coming, if you need correction, he's not coming to bless you and you hard-headed and stubborn. He's coming to get you right for us. But he said, for the time will come, which I believe is now, and even when he was back there, when they will not endure basis of sound doctrine. They don't want the pure word of God. The time is now. We see this in the body of Christ. People do not want you to bring sound doctrine. They only want you to bring scripture that's going to bless them and come out, prosper them and come out, making them feel good and all of this stuff. They don't want to hear when the scriptures call something sin, call your attitude or whatever it is. So that time is now. And said, but after their own lust, that word lust means their own passion. Preach to me to talk to me about what I want, what my desire is, what my heart desire is. And sometimes people say, well, that's what God desires for me. No, that's not his desire relationship. And he's not going to desire someone that's going to talk back to him. I do know people. I've known people and put it like that. They have talked back to the Lord and told him when he said he's going to do something, he can keep it for himself. I don't want it. I mean, I wouldn't even be that stupid in the world. Wouldn't do that. But he said they heap to themselves teachers having an itch in their ear. What that means, they're looking for teachers that going to tell them exactly what they want, teaching them what they want, preaching them what they want. And if it's the one that's going to reprove and rebuke, they don't want to even be bothered. They don't want to hear what you got to say. But they'll find one, or they'll go to a ministry, if it's a church, if it's a show, they'll go to the one that's going to make them feel good and make them feel like they're all of this in a bag of chips, no matter what kind of sin and stuff in their life. And that is what happened. And so you have those teachers and preachers that they want this. They call them teachers with itch and ear. They are want to teach to people that are accepting them. Why? Because a lot of them think that, I don't want to offend people. I want people to like me. Well, you're supposed to be dead to you. But anyway, say, even teachers with itch and ear, and they should turn away their ears from the truth. Shall be turning to favors. And based on what the Word of God is telling us, those type of people, they will turn away their ears. They won't hear. They won't, you know, you get to talking the truth, what the Word say, yeah, they say, yeah, but, no, but, you don't understand, but, you know, this, but, it doesn't make sense. But, see, these are people have already turned a deaf ear, so their scripture's dead, really. Because they don't hear what the Spirit is saying. This is why my scripture says, he that has an ear to hear, let us hear what the Spirit is saying. That he's not talking about a natural ear, because everybody got one of them, I think. But he's talking about a spiritual ear. Because if a person who has a spiritual ear, and this is what I'm keep trying to tell people too, when you're talking to people, and you got to tell them the same thing over and over, they keep doing the same thing over and over, they're not hearing you with the ear of the Spirit. And you need to learn to stop. And just pray that God will give them a spiritual ear, or let God do what he got to do. Because they're not hearing the truth. And most of them, I guarantee you, can quote it right back to you. They understand exactly what you said, but they don't intend to do it because their heart has got stubborn and hard. But he said, watch thou into all things. Endure affliction. Say that again. Endure affliction. He said, affliction is hardship, trouble, hardness. It could be without. It could be calamity. It could be affliction. But he was telling him, this is what to expect. And this is what the Lord is saying to us today, the call to be minister, or whatever we call to be. It doesn't matter about the title. This is a part of doing the work of the kingdom, to endure. So if I got to endure hardship, basically I got to go through it. I got to pray for the grace of God that I will go through it, because it's a part of the work that I'm called to do. You know, he said, do the work of an evangelist. Evangelist is a preacher of the gospel. It's somebody who's spreading the gospel to people. We have people now, and they don't really know what evangelizing means. They think evangelizing means is preaching at their church, preaching around in the city. Evangelizing is going out, preaching and winning people to the kingdom of God. It's going out, winning people to the kingdom of God, preaching salvation and deliverance. That is what it's going out to do. And you go from place to place. A lot of people take on the term of evangelist. But like I was telling a relative of mine, she just preached. Sometimes they invite her to preach in her church. So you're not doing God's will. You're not doing God's will. That's not what an evangelist is. And I think it's another thing to call them elder, but they don't realize exactly what that terminology means. But I told them, I said, evangelist means you going forth. You're traveling. And winning people to the kingdom. You're not going forth and preaching to them and inviting them to your church. You're going forth, you heal them, deliver and set free. You know, that's what it's called. Or God may have you moving around in a particular city, in, you know, different houses or whatever it is. Evangelize, he got you there for to win people to the kingdom. But he's telling him, we are going to endure affliction when we're called to the ministry, even before we come in. Most of us can go back and think who's in the world, and we may not be too much, the Lord said this, but giving people, you got people mad with you because you're saying, you're still evangelizing because that calling is in you. That's it. You know, I can go back, I was in the world, and a lot of times, it was always guys wanting to come up and talk to me about their problems. Now, I know nothing about being cold. I'm not going to sit up and tell it like I did. But I was getting mad because I said, I need to talk to somebody about my problem. Why could I always be talking to somebody? I didn't know the calling was in me. They didn't know either, but they saw something that they felt like they could talk to me about their problem. And I would understand. Or I wasn't trying, you know, to go with them or whatever it is. Because the calling is already in you and you're from your mama's womb. However, she got, I don't care if you was, if the mother was raped and you had for time. God, a lot of time, anoint that child even then because he don't think like people think. Or however, if it wasn't married, because I used to hear people say, well, only married children is blessed. That's a lie. Because some of the marriages ain't really marriage anyway. You know, God to one, then what he's doing, he's raising up his remnant. He predestined his people. But like I said, in that work, you're going to have to endure affliction, go through affliction and go through with the right attitude. Not ask somebody, well, you know, these people won't, they come against me for preaching and teaching. I want you to pray for them. Leave me alone. No, you don't ask somebody to pray for that because the Bible says when your ways please me, I'll make your enemy be gone. He said also when you being obedient, they'll come against you one way. I'm going to split them up seven ways. Only thing you got to do is obey God. You ain't got to be praying, I don't want to take this. I don't like problems. I don't even like people, messy people. But I came into the Word of God, and I realized it's a part of my living for Christ. I can't get away from it. Even if I have to die, probably. Because even if I don't serve God, because the calling is already in me, people are not going to like me anyway. Because that calling is in you. Let me just tell you, say, I don't care how wrong you're doing, there is something because of that calling in your life. You ain't going to go along the wrong. You're going to still be trying to tell people. But, you know, you shouldn't do that. Then you wonder why you're saying that because you know what you're doing. Because that is in you. That calling is in you. God has put his laws, like he told the Israelites, like, I'm going to put my laws in the inward part. Those who God, and I believe this in my heart, that God has called, truly called, before you ever come in. He has already, those that belong to, put his laws, his command, in your inward part. If you look at some of these little kids, now you never really taught them about right and wrong. They don't really know right and wrong. Them jokers could be doing something wrong. All you got to do is look at them. And you see them trying to back away or trying to look at you under the eye or whatever it is. Because why? If they've been called out by God, his laws is in their inward part. So they automatically have to be taught. Because whenever they do something wrong, there is a conviction coming because the Holy Ghost is in the world to convict. And you wonder why, they're a joker. They don't know that because for a lot of times we don't understand Scripture. The Holy Spirit is in the world to convict the world of sin. This is why I tell people, you don't have to run around and tell people they're wrong and you had nobody doing this because the Holy Ghost is already in the world. And if you are called, not by no church and all this stuff, in your mother's womb, that is who you real are. Right from, even though we have done some wrong and some stuff, but there are certain things, especially being mean and hateful, some of us couldn't do if we wanted to do it. I know that was with me. I would get mad. Why I can't be mean and hateful? I knew nothing about no calling. I knew nothing about it. But the Bible said do the work of an evangelist. It's a preacher of the gospel. Make full proof. Fulfill of that ministry. Every person, you can't get out of it. You can't get away from it. You know, whether you're an evangelist, whether you're a teacher, because some of us are teachers, we're always trying to teach somebody something. And wonder why I'm always trying to teach somebody, because the teaching gift is in you. Nurturing pastor. Some people, they're always trying to nurture people. They always want to be a mother or father to whoever children. They don't even realize what people tell them. That nurturing spirit, that shepherd spirit is in you. And then you acting it out. People say, oh, no, no, I'm not a shepherd. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a pastor. Why are you always trying to nurture somebody? Why are you always trying to protect them? Why are you always trying to help them? Because God has already put in you or me who it was. Because like I said, going back when I was talking about how, you know, I was always trying to tell people something. People always want to come to me and tell them something. I was always trying to teach something. I was always, when I'm stuttering, whatever I'm stuttering, I always got to look up every word. I always got to be questioned about it. And I used to say, I wonder why I do that. I didn't know because nobody didn't tell me that the teaching and nurturing also was in me. I was always trying to nurture somebody's kid or something, sometimes even to be in the center of not only kids but also the mother. They want me to be their godmother. I'm saying, I had people say, well, why Jay, won't you? I don't know. I didn't know nothing about that the Lord had told me that I was going to be a mother to a lot of people. It's already in you. It's already in us. Okay? It says, but we all are called to fulfill our calling. You can't get out of it unless you're going to die out of it. True. That's it. We are called to do that. It's, you are who you are. The real you is the spirit in you, the spirit of God in you. You're just living in a body, which is the house. But God doesn't live in that house. He lives in your spirit. This is why sometimes you can't do some things and you get convicted, you feel bad about it. And yes, sometimes, you know, you will do, but you may not at that particular minute feel convicted about it, what's going, but later on, you get the feeling bad about it. That's because of the Holy Spirit. That's it. So that is the real live person. And we as people have to realize that and believe that we just can't get away. But I tell people that the sooner we yield and come into Christ, the better it's going to be because we can't get away if we try. We're going to eventually die and die without Christ because he's not going to just forever let us live forever and don't want to come back to him. You know, because listen, you know, I want to have a good time. You didn't have a good time nowhere because if you belong to Christ, I'm telling you, I don't care what you do. And all of us, to be real and honest, we're doing it, but we're feeling bad about it. So we're not enjoying it anyway. He's not going to let you enjoy a life away from him. That is a fact. A lot of people that we know, and we're going to bug them by coming in, they might want to act ugly and all that stuff. They're not enjoying, like I said, they belong to Christ. He is not going to let them enjoy the mess they're seeing. Even when you don't know what they're seeing, his spirit that's operate or make you begin to feel convicted about something, and you don't even know that it's him. And I'm trying to tell people to be real and what's called and understand, and that tells you everybody is his creation, but everybody is not his. They're not his. He make give an opportunity for everybody to come in and serve him. He cannot say, but okay, I'm just going to choose mine and the rest. He has to make it to become in. And like I tell people, Jesus was a Jew. He didn't have to die for us to Gentiles. He didn't have to. But he did. So when you're giving up your self-life, you are dying to yourself for other people. You are fulfilling your calling like Jesus did. You are going to a figurative cross. That's what you're going to fix the cross. But it's not for you. It's for other people. You know, that's why Jesus was saying he was always about his Father's business. Always. He was never about his own person. Whatever he's going through, whatever he did, it wasn't about, that's why he was never concerned when he was going through. Well, I don't want to go through this. You know, I feel bad about this. Or whatever. He went through it to show us we can too. But it's once after you begin to grow in the spirit, man, not to hear you, then you begin to deal with things a little bit better. You begin to understand that you build your relationship with him, understand a little bit better, understand what he's doing, and understand because I don't belong to the devil. That's why he's having a hissy fit. That's why he's using people as he once used all of us, and we didn't want to admit it, but use all of us. So now, well, we're coming in, he's using other people against us. That's why the Bible said we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The thing that God got me trying to tell you, face reality. Don't come to act like you've been always sitting up on the penalty, you've been always sitting up on the cross, that you never done wrong or you didn't do wrong to people. We all have sinned. So basically, too, going back to Scripture, the Scripture tells us, too, you know, every seed we sow, we're going to reap it also. But also that when we live godly, we are going to suffer persecution. That is Scripture. It's not you or I to come. They're trying to kill Christ all over again. Just like we did when we was out there sinning. Because he already done died for our sin. He already took the stripes on the back and healing everything. We still out there sinning, although he done been on the cross and all. So we're doing the same thing that they did. we just had not when coming when we get ready. And I'm tired of people saying that. None of us came in when we got ready. The Holy Ghost brought us in. That's what brought us in. That's what's going to draw the other people. You have to get to the place, like I say, to realize, like I keep telling people, and I keep telling the testimony about me, you know, when I was talking to the Lord, you know, about telling the Lord, about bringing somebody in, the Lord let me know, you know, you keep doing what I told you to do. I got a timing when they're going to come in. And basically, so many ways, you don't tell me, because you're not wanting them in so they can pull up with my calling. You want them in so that you can have somebody to pray with you. That's the wrong motive. That is wrong motive. Want them to come in so they can serve the Lord, even people that we know. But to understand this, God knows with each person what he has to take them through to get them to bow. We have to get out of the flesh and say, but I don't want to see him go through that. I don't want to see him that. No, we might not. But then again, he wouldn't have put it in his word if he didn't know that some going to have to go through that way. But it's like it being a mother, you know, I can go back and I can say, when I didn't want to, you know, spank my child or whoop or what's going on, it hurt me to do it, but I know it was needed. If I want them to learn how to really respect or learn how to something you can't do, something you can't say. And I was talking to somebody today. I was telling them, you know, that I look at the children now, and I also look at the children in Christ. The reason they so bad and do so because why? When they needed to be chastised, they wasn't. People made them talk that it's all right to do it. It's all right to talk back to me. It's all right to this, that, and the other. And they do Christ the same way. They do Christ the same way. I've talked to people that have been in the Lord. I'm talking about they way up in age. And they come out, I told God I don't want it. He can keep it for himself. I know you didn't say that. I wouldn't be that stupid in the world to tell a holy God, somebody who created me. And this is one thing I used to tell people. I had said it recently. If he tell you you need a blue toenail, you need it somewhere down the line. Whatever he said, you need this trouble, you need this test, you're going to need it down the line. And somewhere, if you don't go through it, and you think about, oh, Lord, the Lord was trying to put you down, and I didn't even pay no attention. Everything we are going through, it's an experience. It's going to help us down the line because it's going to help somebody else. The devil hopes to destroy us. Just like Joseph said to his brother, you know, when they sold him, first of all, he told them that they're going to have to buy the mom and the dad and everybody, even though he didn't know the exact reason what it meant by that. But all of them going to have to bow down to him. But he told people, sometimes we share things with people, loved ones and whoever, sometimes we shouldn't, because they're spiritually ignorant on that part. But anyway, they start working in their mind to get rid of him. But they were following God's plan. They were really following God's plan. I said, but why? He needed to get to Egypt. He needed to get to Egypt. He probably wasn't going to go, and his daddy probably wasn't going to let him go. So the Lord permitted or allowed whatever terminology. He didn't stop it. If he don't stop a thing, he is allowed or permitted. It's a part of a plan. Okay? And how they killed him. I didn't lie to the dad. I mean, like the animal had killed him. Okay, they ended up selling him to the Egyptian. But all of this was what God had planned for to get him to Egypt. After getting there, Prophet Wild tried to lie on him, this, that, or other. He ended up going to prison. All of that was God's plan. Every bit of it. But so, I don't understand that. Why would God do that? Why would God allow that? You know, this is why I tell people, stay out your head. Stay out your head. But sometimes some things have to happen in order to get us to a place to fulfill the calling that God got. None of us, I don't care where we went in life or what we did, where we stayed, you know, he allowed us to make decisions. We was in his will. We was a part of the plan. The part of the plan, you know. I remember, you know, way back, years back, and I was wanting to go to California to live with my brother. And I never could understand, because he wanted me out there, why I could never go, even though, you know, the wife went away, she was against it. But because God allowed that. Because if I had gone, I would not be here doing what I'm doing today. You know, probably at that time, too, might not have had the child that I had. You know, so I might have thought, I was doing what I wanted to do, or his desire, but the Lord knew He said, man divides the way, but God directs the steps to get us into the right place that we need to be. So a lot of decisions, people think they make decisions. No, let me tell people how powerful God is. You can make any kind of decision you want anybody else. If he allow you to do it, you got a purpose for it. If he don't, it's because you weren't pursuing it. It's not because you. It's like he said, well, I was just too good. I was a decent person. I had to go to the Bible, so nobody go up to the Father. You didn't do it because he didn't allow you to do it. That's why if he did, like I told people, just to backslid, you know, and all this stuff. He said, I don't want anybody to pray. You think God's stupid? He didn't know that? Because if it wasn't part of the puzzle, guess what? He knows how to not allow us to do something. He knows how to even paralyze us in a sense so we can't do it. He knows how to change our mind. We serve a mighty powerful God. This is the point that I'm trying to get people to see. Nothing happens that he already knows. And nothing happens that he can't stop. Yeah, he give us a choice to make a decision. But he already know what decision we're going to make. No, he already know. And you have to come to the place that you have, I have to trust God. I have to trust God. You know, I may not like it. I may not think it all the right thing, but I'm not smart as God. Because I go back and I say this, I don't know what I got to say. But I remember when the Lord was telling me about it, you know, he had my daughter, and basically she was on the phone, I mean, on the thing now. I got her in the palm of my hand. If it's something I don't want her to do, she would ask God. When they had the prophet to me, I said, that's way out. Because we had already knew some things. I said, that's way out. So he was telling me, you know, and I should have known better because I had this dream. But the thing of it, I'm trying to tell the people, don't think that any of us or whatever, because like I was telling another lady today, I'm telling them, I said, sometimes some things we don't speak. That's because religious folks, they don't know how to minister to people in the streets. They out there telling people, you know, God don't want you this, God don't want you that. But what was he when you were doing what you were doing? It doesn't make any difference. Wrong is wrong. Sin is sin. Ain't no big sin, little sin. And one of the main things, I don't care what we do or I do. If I'm doing wrong, it's because my heart has already left God. And that's the truth. But my heart haven't already left God. Anytime you see people, I don't care what they're doing, acting ugly, drinking, looking, out there fornicating, whatever it is, those people's heart has always left God, and that's the fruit from it. Because it's determined, because he said he looks at the heart. If my heart is after God, I'm not going to intentionally, willfully do wrong. If I do, even if I lie, my heart is leaving God. After a while, my heart going to get so cold in the heart. Then I'll be telling lies consistently because it's a lying spirit. And we have to realize and know that and stop really sometimes judging people and pray because sometimes too, like I try to tell people, we don't know what's down in people's generation. We don't know the type of people, and things come from generation to generation sometimes. So we as believers, we as a minister, this is why we put this learning from the Spirit, have to go back and break the power of certain things over people. Had to go back even in my own life. I had to learn to do break generation curse, and I learned this from Leroy Jenkins, how to break generation curse over my family life, and how to take authority, how to repent for whatever sin that they did, not knowing exactly what, but cover them under the blood of Jesus so that the curse can stop in my life. It won't go no further, you know. And so a lot of times they're not teaching people to do this because some people don't want to admit that the family were runching. And sometimes they don't know, but if they see stuff start to happen in the family, it don't come from some, you know, somewhere. Because one of my cousins, Century, we can talk about it because she's saved too, but the other one, you know, in the other time, whenever it gets to talking, no, you better hash. Well, hey, facts are facts. I'm not talking against them, but I'm telling my sister, but this mess has to come from somewhere. So we need to take authority over it. We need to repent for them. Decent people, because the Bible says nobody good but the Father. I don't care how certain things they didn't do, they wasn't never good because they disobeyed God. That's why these demons came in. That's why these different things came in. And most of them, like I know, they didn't start going to church. They got older. So a lot of them had done run to things before then. But the thing of it is, what we have to realize, what's on that, we have to get to the truth. And like I said, one thing that I tell people, ask the Lord to, you know, give me that real Holy Ghost to bring illumination to your word so I can know the truth, so I can walk in truth. And, Lord, if you want to use people to correct me or rebuke me, I thank you for that, because I don't want to wait to the last minute and stand before Christ. Then he said, I mean, to depart from him, but he don't know me because of something I did even out of ignorance. People say, well, you know, he won't do it because you didn't know. The Bible said, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. This is why you hear me say, telling people, you got to know what the word is saying, because you got these people come up and say, well, you know, you shouldn't, you didn't know no better. God understands. The devil's a lie. The devil's a lie, because some way or another he tells you to study, to show yourself approved, a weapon you not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If something is wrong, and it's me, or like I tell people, you know, if they see something I'm saying or doing that contrary to scripture, then I need to be corrected. I don't need to be making no, have no excuses made for me. Well, you know, God understand, and you know, sometimes, well, now people say a lot of time, you know, but sometimes when people get older to do this, no, you don't make excuses. Or when you're ministering to people and people want to say, well, you know, I'm doing this because this, you might as well quit that, because first of all, I tell them, when you stand before Christ, you can tell Christ that lie because he's not going to accept it. He's going to call wrong, wrong. So this is what you're going to have to do. And this is why God was telling, had been saying to me later, which I do anyway, had told me that this prophet said, I can hear you telling people, they're trying to say this, that, and other. You're going to tell them what the Bible say. The Bible say. And that is one thing I do. I said, this is what Scripture said. This is not my personal opinion. Because I'm going to stand for righteousness. It's what it is. I don't care if it's me. I told people this once before, and I don't know why I said my mom instead of saying my daddy. I said, if she was living, and she came to me, and there was something that she was going to ask me about it, and the Bible said wrong, I would have to say, Mama, the Bible says wrong. I'm not going to compromise. I'm not intended to burn in hell, but nobody. And I wouldn't advise that to nobody else. Because not the dreams, but then with the book on divine revelation, hell, and other things I've heard people talking about hell and why you continue to suffer. No, I ain't trying to go there. I go through enough of stuff in the world. But to forever be suffering through stuff and burning in hell and all this stuff and worms and stuff, you say, how you know it's true? But I tell you what, I'm not even trying to find out. I'm going to live holy, meant to be consecrated and set apart. Yes, my God, Lord, you help me. You help me. I want to live like you say live. That's how I want to live. And I also asked the Lord, because I read this one time Solomon was asking the Lord. The Lord was asking Solomon, what did he want from the Lord? And he was asking God for wisdom, how to discern, how to work on his people. And because he asked God for that, God gave it by me, blessed him tremendously. And this is why I tell people, you know, one of the things, if you mean from your heart, you know, not to want God for his hand. Want him for him. Because all of us humans, I know it with me, I don't like people to want me for me. You know, I'm more than just a body. I am somebody. So accept me and respect me as somebody. I am quality. Now that I know the Lord has said, I am a quality. I'm royal in his kingdom. So I thought something like this before I ever got saved. So, you know, if you're going to be in the wrong doing it, because I want to do it. But now that he's telling me that, I'm not just accepting the thing. I don't care if I don't have all the stuff that they got. He sees me not because of the stuff. He sees my heart. So I got to do the work of an evangelist. Every person in the body of Christ is a minister meant to serve. You may not serve preaching and teaching. Some of us got special callings on our life. Some of us are operating in powerful ministry. Some of us is meant to serve others by doing things for others. Not just people because we lack them, but other people that need help. They want help. And there have been times, not because of any goodness of me, that I have done without just to share it with others. Sometimes people didn't appreciate it. You know, I have allowed myself to go without to help others, you know, what's gone. But I feel in my heart that God is going to reward me. Oh, boy, even though sometimes people try to use me or they put me in a tight squeeze or whatever it is, you know. But I just believe because of having the heart right. And he did say, because I did done everything out of love. And people didn't help me or bless me like he wanted to. But he is going to do it. He is doing it. That's why I tell people, don't think, people think they're getting over it. And you know that's because people are stupid thinking anyhow. But because if you know the word and know God's ways, all you do is look in your heart, look at him and laugh. Because you ain't even got, because God don't promise in his word. You know, whatever you do and do, if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. Whatever seed you sow, you get it. This is what they said. I don't care who you are. So I don't waste time worrying about what people are doing or what people is saying. I have grown some to the point. It used to hurt me. It really did. You know, because I had this concept, if I'm nice to people and good to people, they ought to be the same way. I didn't face reality. I was looking at what I wanted. And that's not reality. Reality is, it is what it is. People, there are going to be evil, wicked people all the time. They were there when Jesus was living, and they're going to be there now. That's just the way it is. That is just the way it is. But, you know, I just thank and praise God for what he's doing. And I just want to encourage, you know, people to, it's getting worse. And you better try to get as close to God as you want to, because this is one thing I tell people. I used to say it all the time. I want to get so up in him that I remember one time years ago them people used to use forceps whenever the people's having babies. And I would tell people, you get the biggest one you can get. I want to be so up in him that you can't even pull me out. That's what I want. I didn't realize why I was saying that at the time, but now I see what's going on. The people are going to try to get you out of the will of God. They're going to try to get you doing the wrong thing. They're saying the wrong thing. They're thinking the wrong way. But I want to be so wrapped up in Christ that I'm going to know the difference and will not allow them to come with a stupid thinking, stupid thought, whatever it is, to pull me out. I want to stay close to him. I want to stay up in him. That's my own protection. My own protection. So we just thank and praise God for that and what he's doing. I don't know whether I have time before you get off to set a short testimony, because whether you're getting ready to get off and work or if you own work, but I thank and praise God how God worked some things out. Yesterday when I went to the doctor's, off of my eyes, all that good, everything, I thank God for, I was able to read all the way down to the 10th line, so I thank God for that. Then when I went to head, whatever they do to my eyes, anyway, to look behind, take picture, everything was just fine. So I thank and praise God for that. And, Lord, I just pray God's blessing be upon the daughters, because she couldn't take me, but she called around and she found somebody to take me. Because I was going to walk down to the bus stop. But I thank God for her, and I pray because she really, truly concerned and care. But anyway, we ended up getting out early, so she going to pick me up after. But you couldn't do it because I got off too early. And so I told her I was going to go down to the bus station, catch the bus, and then get up down there and walk home. She said, no, I can't have you doing it. She said, call a cab, and I'll pay for it. I said, call a cab from downtown? I said, I don't mind going. But anyway, but God worked that out. They didn't charge it much to go to charge because the person he sent. But she willing to pay, and I know there ain't nobody but God. And I said, God, I don't know why you want to allow my car to come or whatever it is. And those that could help or could do it, because this other sister that always called me for prayer. Now, but I know that in my heart that she's not going to do it because she's going to be there for her family. But then again, you got to step out for somebody else. But and she came right on over because she wanted me to let her know when I got home how much it cost. And I told her, I said, they didn't charge. I've been looking for them to charge over $20-some. But it ended up, I didn't pay for $10.80. That wasn't nobody but God. Nobody but God. Because I had to pay $10 to go over there to Salem Avenue to for my six-month checkup. So all the way downtown, which is halfway, wasn't my $10. So that was the Lord. But she came right over after she got working and took up her son and brought me the money and put it in my hand. And I'm trying to tell people, you walk in obedience, you come to the place you need to be. Now, it took me a place to get there with Christ as his ambassador. But God began to make ways. You don't have to do anything. And people say, you have to have money to do. No, you don't. If you learn to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Yeah, it's a push. It's a push. But anyway, we just thank and praise God. Like I said, I don't know whether you're going to have to get off, but I'm going to go ahead on. So in case that you do, before it's time, because no one else is on, but I bless you. I bless you in the name of Jesus. And I thank God for you. I thank God for what I see him doing in your life. That encourages me, you know, to want, I don't mind helping people like that, you know, that really trying and doing all they can. But those who don't apply the word to their life, I really be honest, I ain't particular about just keep on with them because they're trying to play games, you know. But letting that word apply and change the way they look at things and think things, because I need people that are going to walk with me. I need them to be able to stand just like I'm standing, just like I'm believing. And that's the kind of people you need to pray, a person needs to pray with them too. But we just, Father, we thank you right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, for what you have done, what you're going to do. We bless you tonight. We thank you for this opportunity, Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank God that I went ahead on and stayed on, Father, and you know, did what you called me out to do. And, Lord, we just bless you right now. We thank you and we honor you in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you all praise, glory, and honor. Love you in Jesus' name, and continue to keep me in your prayers as I keep you in my prayers. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I'm going to go ahead on and end the show right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.